Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
The pastor has asked me this morning to take care of the message, be here to preach the message this morning, and I'm going to do my best. And my title of my message this morning is Survival 101. Now I would like to direct your attention to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. That is our text for this morning. And we're going to have that on the screen so that you can follow along as well this morning. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Stand. Take up the whole armor of God and be ready to stand in the evil day that we live in. And having done all, once you've done everything, then just stand. Just stand your ground. Amen. When you've done everything you know to do and you've prayed all the prayers that you can pray and you've quoted all the scriptures that you can quote and you still find yourself in the battle, what do you do? Well, the Bible says just stand. Amen. Because sooner or later, God will come through for you. Amen. I believe that, and I believe the word. Now, the Message Bible says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. Father in heaven, thank you for your word today. May the Holy Spirit have preeminence in this service here this morning, and may you receive the glory and the honor and the praise for all that is accomplished here today. I'm just praying that when people leave the service today, they'll leave encouraged, strengthened, lifted up, and determined that they're going to live for you, regardless of what circumstances may come their way. Be with us today in the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name, and amen. By definition, the word survival means to be in a state or a fact of continuing to live or exist after you've been through an accident or some ordeal in life or some difficult circumstances. A survivalist is one who continues to live and move forward. A survivalist is someone that, in spite of all the adversities that may come your way, you are determined that you're going to make it. Amen. And that's the message that I want to share with you this morning. Can I say to you, God does not allow difficulties and trials to come your way so that you can be defeated or for your demise. Contrary to that, God brings trials and tribulations along your way and my way so that we can practice living by faith. Amen. When you can't see the end of the road and all you see are the dark clouds looming over you and you don't know what to do and where to go, just continue to hold on to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will make a way somehow. Amen. And dark clouds will dissipate and circumstances will change, but you've got to hold on and be firm in your conviction and live according to the word of God. And having done all to do what? Stand. Just stand your ground, because God is not looking for your defeat. He's not working for your demise. He's working for your benefit, and he's working so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, no temptation has taken you or overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God. Thanks, Mike, for bringing that to my attention this morning. But God. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Can I just tell you this morning, thank God for the but gods in the Bible. Amen. The enemy had a plan for your defeat, but God. The enemy wanted to bring sickness and disease on you, but God. The devil wanted to discourage you and cause you to give up and go to hell, but God. Circumstances may have come your way, but God. Troubles may have come your way, but God. I want to tell you this morning, when the enemy comes in like a flood, just remember there is a God in heaven who is very much aware of who you are and where you're living and what you need this morning. There is nothing that escapes his view. Whatever you're going through is not bigger than God. Amen. When you feel like you can't go any further, just remember, but there's a God in heaven who is very much aware of your need, and he's already working on your behalf to bring you to the end of your circumstances. Can I hear an amen in this house today? There is no reason for you to give up. There's no reason for you to be defeated. There's no reason for you to throw in the towel of defeat. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll just hold on to the hand of the man who has the nail scars, he will always bring you through, and he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Well, glory. Amen. God is on his throne today. Life-sustaining faith is an experienced faith. Did you catch that? Life-sustaining faith is an experienced faith. Amen. We didn't start this thing yesterday, most of us in this building. We've been on this road for quite a while. We've had our ups and downs and ins and outs, and we've wondered sometimes if we were going to make it or we were going to survive, but somehow faith held on to us, and we held on to faith. Amen. And faith became an experience, and we've learned that whatever God has done today, he can do it again tomorrow. And what he's done for others, he can do for you. Faith that is experienced, faith that has been practiced, faith that has been lived. I want to tell you, I've been knocked down but a few times, but I got back up. Can I hear an amen in this house? I've fallen into a pit along the way that Satan has dug for me, and I crawled out the other side. I will not be defeated. I will be a, woo! I will be a survivor. I will survive whatever the enemy may bring my way. I've been forsaken by those that I thought were my friends, but God never gave up on me. Amen. I'm talking about an experienced faith. We've walked this way. We've talked this way. We've lived this way. And I want to tell you this morning, I believe there are people in this house today that whatever comes your way, you're not going to give up. You're not going to quit. You're going to hold on. You're going to keep pressing through. You're going to hold on to the hand of Jesus, and you're going to make it through regardless of what others may do. Amen. Experienced faith. A survival faith says, I don't know what lies ahead of me, but I know the Lord will make a way somehow. Survival faith says, devil, you may knock me down, but I'm going to get up and try it again. Amen. Survival faith says, I don't know about my future, but I know who holds my future. Amen. And I'm in good hands. You may be in good hands with Allstate. I've got a better one than that. You're in good hands with Jesus. Amen. Put your life in his hand. Put your family in his hand. Put your existence in his hand, because he will always see you through, and you'll always come out on the winning side. If you hold on to the Lord, you will be a survivalist. Amen. Now, the times in which we live are difficult. We understand that, don't we, this morning? And in the times that we live, I think we need to have a survivalist mentality. In May 2003, a young man by the name of Aaron Ralston was hiking out in the mountains of Utah. He was all by himself, which was not unusual, because he often would take hiking trips out into the mountains. But on this particular occasion, he was in a circumstance where that a rock shifted, a boulder shifted and caught his arm. And he was not able to free himself. He tried everything that he could do to get released from the rock that was holding his arm. And he began to think, well, certainly somebody will come looking for me, but nobody knew he was there, and nobody knew where he was. And after a few days of being there struggling to get free, he decided, I've got to do something desperate. I have to survive these circumstances. I want to tell you, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to feel at the end of the road. You're going to feel like you're at the end of your situation, and something has to be done. Amen. Well, here's this young man. His arm is caught. He cannot get free. And he discovers that in his pocket, he has an old, dull pocket knife. And he takes that pocket knife out, and he whittles at his arm. He cuts at his arm until he amputates his arm and saves his life. He lost his arm. But I want to tell you, sometimes when you have the survivalist mentality, you will wind up doing some strange things. But the mindset says, I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to live. This young man decided that the only way that he could live was to amputate his... Now, I'll just tell you, I don't know that I could have done that. I don't like blood. I don't like the sight of blood. Amen. Man, I may have just passed out right there as soon as I made a little slit on my arm and the blood started coming through. But when you're in survivalist mentality, you understand what I'm saying. When your back is against the wall and there's nothing that you see that can be done, and you're grasping for straws and you're saying, God, what can I do? It may come to some extreme measures in your life, and you may have to do what you never thought you would do, but you have a survivalist mentality. I am going to survive. I am going to live through this. I am going to get to the other side. And sometimes we have to cut away some things in our life. Sometimes you have to cut away some friendships. Sometimes you have to cut away some circumstances. Sometimes you have to cut away some events in your life so that you can live and move forward and know that God will help you to overcome whatever may be coming your way. It was the year 68 AD. The Apostle Paul had come to the nearing of the end of his life. He had been taken to Rome as a prisoner and had, according to history, Paul probably was released for about 4 or 5 years before he was taken back to Rome as a prisoner, and this time he would not be released. He would lose his life. During this time that he was in prison in Rome, he began to write to a young man by the name of Timothy, a preacher of the gospel, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in this particular chapter, Paul tells Timothy that in the last days, perilous, dangerous times would come. He said there will be a form of godliness, but yet there will be those who deny the power thereof. That men will be evil. There will be evil men and seducers, and they will wax worse and worse. He says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, I wished I had some time right there to preach a little while this morning, because some of the doctrine going around in our religious circles today is rotten, stinking. Amen. We need to get back to the truth of the Word of God and just believe what God says in His Word. You don't have to take away, and you don't have to add to. God says what He says, and He means what He says. Just take what He says and live by it. Amen. Do what the book says, and you'll be all right. You don't have to listen to some television preacher to get advice. Pull the Bible out and start reading the Bible, because the Bible contains all the secrets of life. And whatever your question may be, it's found in the Bible. Just do some research and find out that God will speak to your need. Why? Because God wants you to be a survivor. He wants you to live through the circumstances of life. And so Paul talks to Timothy, and he said, all these things will be happening in the last days. They'll not endure sound doctrine. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And it looks like, when you read that passage, it looks like doom and gloom, doesn't it? It looks like that we're headed for a time where things are really going to be tough. And then you read the book of Revelation, and you find out there's a man in the book of Revelation that is referred to as the Antichrist. And when he comes on the scene of this world, you talk about tribulations. We have never seen tribulations like it's going to take place during that time. In fact, the Bible refers to this time as the time of great tribulation. Now, I'm sorry if you have formed in your mind, you formulated the idea that Pastor Cass is just one of those gloom and doom preachers. You may be right, but I don't claim that. I don't claim that title. But I am going to claim this morning, and that is that the Bible tells me that we're living in dangerous, perilous times, and we need to wake up and smell the roses. Amen. Don't stick your head in the sand like many do and think things are going to get better. I'm sorry. There are those that say, well, things are going to get better and the world's going to change and mankind's going to come to know the Lord and everybody's going to get saved and everybody's going to go to heaven. I don't know that that's true. I believe those who are saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, those are the ones that are going to heaven. Amen. I want to be in that group, don't you? I may sound sometimes like a preacher of doom and gloom, but I want you to know that we're living in dangerous and perilous times. And in my opinion, for whatever it's worth, I don't think things are going to get a lot better. I think things are going to continue to get worse and worse and worse until the Antichrist makes his appearance. Well, Brother Cash, don't tell us all that. Tell us something good that'll make us feel good. Well, I am going to tell you something good this morning, and that is in spite of all the circumstances that are going on in our world that's adverse, there's a God in heaven who is still on his throne, and he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what to do to help you to make it through. There's a God in heaven who is always conscious of who you are and where you are. Hallelujah. To the name of Jesus, he will never fail. Times will be hard. Times are going to be difficult. Tribulation is going to come. There's going to be things that are going to happen in the next few years leading up to the coming of Jesus that we would have never thought of. But don't be discouraged. Don't get down and out. Don't begin to sing the blues, because there's a God in heaven who is very much in control of the world that we live in. How many believe that? Amen. Paul tells Timothy that all these bad things are going to happen. The world's going to be difficult, perilous, dangerous times. But what does he tell him to do? What does Paul tell this young preacher Timothy to do? It's interesting to me, because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word. in the world may be getting worse all the time, and circumstances are going to be difficult, and times are going to change, and some of the things that we've held on to for years and we've been devoted to, things are going to change in our lifetime, and things are going to change, and we're going to have to adopt some of those changes and change some things. I don't like going to the gas station and paying $2.49 for my gas. But I had to make the adjustment. Amen. I remember when gas was 27 cents a gallon. That was back in the good old days. That was back in you know, those days way back yonder somewhere. And when I go to the gas tank today, I don't like paying that price, but it's the times that I'm living. But I'm just saying, times are going to change. Things are going to be difficult. Things are going to be different than what we've looked at through our lifetime. But don't worry about it, because Paul told Timothy exactly what he needed to do, and we need to do the same thing. He said, preach the word. The word of God will make a way. Honor the word. Oh, I want to tell you today, you know, there's all kind of folks on the television, preachers on the television, telling you all kind of bad things, good things and bad things. And And some of it's not even true. It's just a bunch of hype to get you to send your $100 in and get your blessed and anointed prayer cloth or some sawdust from Arizona or some water out of the spring out back in a holy bubble bottle that he has put on the market for sale. But I want to tell you, you don't have to listen to them. You don't have to go by what they say. There's a book that we call the Bible that we need to get into, and we need to understand what is right and what is wrong and how we need to live. If you listen to those on the television, you'll be so confused you won't know which way to go. But when you get the Bible out and you begin to read the Word of God, then God begins to do some deep cleaning in your life, and God begins to open understanding, and you begin to realize, hey, I don't need to listen to this one. I don't need to listen to that one. I don't need to get my thrill from this one on the television. All I need to do is get the Word of God out and read it, and the Holy Ghost of God will come to where you are and inspire you and lift you up and give you joy for living in a time that is very difficult. He says, preach the word. Well, what does the word say? Well, the word tells me that God has already given me victory over sin in my life. Hallelujah. One day, many years ago, at an old-fashioned altar in a little church of God in Monroe, Virginia, Jesus came knocking on my heart's door. And I went to an altar to pray, and the pastor of the church came down and prayed with me, put his arms around me, and said, young man, do you want to get saved tonight? I said, I do. I want to get saved. I've been listening to this. I've been watching this. I used to watch old Sister Effie shout from one side of that little church to the other, and it scared the heart out of me. But there came a place in my life that I said, I want to have what old Sister Effie has. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to know that my sins have been forgiven. I want to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to tell you this morning that the Word of God declares that I have victory over sin. Amen. Sin shall not have dominion over me, but I've been set free by the blood of Jesus. Sin no longer controls my life. You say, well, Pastor Cash, do you ever do anything wrong? Absolutely. I'm not perfect. I wish I was, but I'm not perfect. There are times that I have to deal with my own humanity, and I have to deal with my own feelings, like going down the road and some weirdo cuts me off in traffic. It brings out the human side of me. And if I don't bring that human side into subjection to the Holy Spirit of God, sin might enter into my life. But I know the remedy for staying above the possibility of falling into open sin. And that is that you walk in the blood of Jesus. You walk under the covering of Calvary. You walk under the blood stain, because whatever your sins may have been, they've been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they will never be held to your account anymore. The Word of God declares to me that I have victory over sin in my life today. Well, hallelujah. I know some of you are looking at me right now like I'm crazy. And you're thinking, well, how in the world do you do that, Brother Cash? Well, I try to stay in the Word. I try to stay on my knees. I try to stay under the blood covering. Every once in a while, I have to go back to my own personal altar and say, now, God, I haven't been doing too good lately. I've been tempted to do this, and I've been tempted to do something else. Can I tell you this morning that temptation is not sin? It only becomes sin is when you take action on it. And I want to tell you, the Bible declares to me that I have victory over the power of sin when Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. He was saying that I have paid the penalty for the price of sin, and the power of sin is broken, and now humanity that has been walking for ages and ages and ages under the condemnation and the binding force of sin, now you've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. The penalty of sin is paid. The price that you could not pay, He paid it. This morning, I want to declare to you that this morning I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and my sins are in the sea of His forgetfulness.
Woo! Hallelujah! I want to tell you, there is wonder-working power in the name of Jesus and through His precious blood. Oh, I could talk about other things, but I notice my time is getting away from me this morning. Can I do a Ronnie Reed and just keep preaching till I'm through? Amen. If he was here, that's what he would do, right? Amen. He would just keep preaching until he got through. Well, I'm going to get through, hopefully, in a timely manner. Preach the word, he says to Timothy, because in the word, in the book we call the Bible, there's the answer to all the problems and difficulties that you're facing. And it tells me that we are overcomers. The Bible declares that we've overcome Satan. You have a real enemy today that's working against you. He's doing everything he can to bring you down and defeat you. And it's not that he wants to defeat you necessarily as much as he wants to defeat the purposes of God. You see, there's been this conflict that's been going on for ages. Ever since Lucifer, who was in heaven, lifted himself up in pride, and God had to kick him out of heaven. Ever since that time, Lucifer, the devil, has been on a campaign to defeat the purposes of God. He has done everything that he could do to bring down the purposes and the will of God. He tried to kill Jesus several times before he even got to the cross. They go back and read the gospel writings, in the New Testament, and you'll find out that there were several places, several times, where the devil had instigated hatred so that people wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to throw him over a cliff on one occasion. They wanted to cause him to die. In fact, when the Romans took him prisoner and they began to beat him with the cat of nine tails, remember that? Most men did not live through that beating because it was so severe and so damaging to the physical body of the victim. And yet Jesus held on. He could not have died there at the whipping post. He could not have died when they beat him with rods over the top of his head. That was not his purpose. That was not the reason that he came. He came so that he could hang on an old-fashioned cruel cross and give his life and shed his blood so that mankind could be saved. I want to tell you this morning that God has a will and Satan has a will. And the will of Satan is to bring you down and thereby affect God and cause God heartache. But I want to tell you this morning, those that belong to God are in good shape because you're in the hollow of his hand. Amen. The winds may blow, the storms may come, the difficulties may come your way. But if you'll just keep holding on to the hand of Jesus, he'll always make a way for you. He'll always pull you through. The enemy is out to pull you down and defeat you and bring you to a place of demise. He would like to do that, but his greater plan is to interfere and bring down the purposes of God. Now, we know who the winner is, don't we? I said, we know who the winner is in this affair. We know because the Bible, the Word of God, tells us that the enemy is going to come to his demise one day. Satan, the devil, will be cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I'm telling you, that's going to be a glorious day. Amen. But right now, he's still alive. He's still walking this earth. He still visits your house and your home. He has your address. He knows where you live. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When the devil comes knocking on your door, just lift up your voice and say, you've got the wrong house. You've come to the wrong place. This place is inhabited by the Spirit of the living God. You have no room in this house. You have no place in this house. Satan, you are defeated. Get out of my life and go on down the road because you will not affect me. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. Word of God declares that Satan is defeated. The world that we live in fights against us and is adverse to us. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Wipe all those old discouraging frowns off of your face this morning and put on the love of Jesus. Put on the joy of knowing sins are forgiven. For the Lord is a defeater of the world that we live in. God is good, and he came to bring us cheer. And in the midst of tribulation, he was going to bring us cheer, and he will help us to overcome the world that we're struggling against. How do we know that? He said, because I overcame the world. And if Jesus overcame the world, he overcame the world for me and for you. So we just step up beside him when the world comes in like a flood and it feels like we just can't take another step. Just reach over and take hold of the man with the nail scars and say, Jesus, let me walk with you. Let me talk with you. Let me pray with you. I know you'll make a way somehow. I don't see the end of this. All I see is dark clouds of gloom and doom over my head, and the road that I'm walking on is rocky and rugged, but let me hold your hand, Jesus, because I know that you'll carry me through. I know that you'll bring me to the other side. I know that you'll not allow the world to overshadow me and overcome me, because you'll make a way somehow. I want to tell you this morning, there's a lot of struggles that I've had in life, and sometimes I've tried to end those troubles myself and deal with them myself, only to fall on my knees somewhere saying, God, I've done everything I know to do. I've said everything I know to say. I've done all the things that come to my mind. But God, now I've got to have you. Please come down and take me by the hand and walk me through the circumstances that I'm living with. And it might surprise you that all of a sudden you'll feel the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. And he'll say, here I am. I'll walk with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never defeat you. Desert you, I'll always be with you, and I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm a survivalist. I plan to make it. I plan to be a victorious. I don't want the enemy to bring me down. I know his devices. I know how he works. And if you know what he does and how he works, then you don't have to succumb to his tactics, do you? You are an overcomer. Hallelujah. So then my question to you this morning is, who is going to survive? Who is going to survive? How many of you this morning in this church are going to survive? Clap your hands a little longer. Amen. The truth of the matter is that there may be some listening to be preached this message this morning, and you may not survive. You may not hold out to the end. You may not be willing to do what's necessary to be a survivalist. Let me talk to you a little bit about that. Who will survive? Who is going to survive? First of all, I believe that those who are genuine believers will survive. And I use that terminology deliberately because Jesus said on one occasion, he said, everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. Everybody that professes Christianity may not really be saved. Everybody that comes and sits on these seats in this church, and this is a great church. I don't know of another one like this anywhere. Wonderful church, wonderful pastor, wonderful people. All of you are wonderful people. Amen. Say it to yourself, I'm a wonderful person. Amen. I'm a wonderful person. And in spite of all the goodness, in spite of all of our good intent, in spite of all the pastors preaching and fasting and praying for us and preaching to us and helping us to be everything God wants us to be, in spite of all that we do, there are going to be some who will not make it. Now, I wished I could paint another beautiful picture for you this morning, but you want to hear the truth, don't you? Don't you want to know what the truth is? That everybody that comes and sits on these seats, can I just say, they may not be genuinely saved. They may be hoping. They may be wishing. They may think, well, if I keep coming, sooner or later something will happen. Well, that's what we're praying for too. So you just keep on coming. You may not be everything that you want to be, and you may not be everything that God wants you to be this morning sitting here on these seats. God only knows your heart. I don't know your heart, and I'm certainly not going to try to prejudge you. That's not what I do. But I'm just saying this morning that you need to search your heart and know that you are a genuine, real believer in Jesus Christ and that your sins have actually been washed away by the blood of Jesus. You see, salvation involves a change of lifestyle. And there are people, I know this, there are people that come and worship with us every Sunday. They're on the edge of salvation. They come and they sing the songs that we sing. They sing the song Chainbreaker. One of our favorite songs, Chainbreaker. Jesus is a chainbreaker. But they come in and they sit on the pew and they sing, Jesus is a chain breaker. But yet when they walk out the door, they still have chains attached to them because they never did bring their chains to an altar where God could break those chains off of them and set them free. They go out there, they're still on drugs, they're still on alcohol, they're still living immorally. They walk out the door and they still have these chains on them. What do they need to do, Pastor Cash? They need to come to an old-fashioned altar, whether that's in church, in your car, or in your home. You just need to get down on your knees and pray your way through until Jesus, in fact, breaks the chains in your life and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want to make sure I'm saved. I want to be a genuine believer. I want to know that my life has been changed and rearranged. I want to know that Jesus controls my life. I'm talking about a genuine believer. Who's going to survive? Who's going to survive in this world that we're living in? It's those who are genuine in their relationship with the Lord. It's not a superficial thing. It's not coming to church on Sunday and singing the songs and feeling good and walking back to your car and you still have those chains on your life. It's time to break those chains loose. This morning is a good time to start breaking some chains away in your life and becoming a true believer, a genuine believer, somebody who is in fact a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's number two. How are we going to survive? We need to be a true follower of Jesus. I said this to you a few moments ago. There are going to be many, Jesus says, there are going to be many that say, Lord, Lord, but they'll not enter in. What does that say to me? That says to me there's some, they're so close, but they haven't made that total commitment. They haven't made that total surrender. They come to church and feel good for a little while and then they walk back out into a world that's cruel and all that old worldly junk comes right back on them because they haven't taken that step to become a true believer. Jesus washing your sins away. Life change. Life change. We need to be followers of the Lord. Remember in Matthew, I am pulling a pastor on you all this morning. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, we read the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus began to quote the commandments. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments. And the guy says, well, I've done this all my life from my youth up. I've followed these commandments. And Jesus said, well, if you want to be whole, if you want to be everything you need to be, go sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. This man had an invitation to follow the Lord. This man could have been another disciple of Jesus. But the Bible says that he turned and he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. He was not able to make that conversion, lay my riches aside and take up my cross and follow Jesus. Now, there's nothing wrong with having riches. In fact, Jesus did not condemn the fact that he was wealthy. He just said, go sell what you have. He didn't say sell it all. You ever notice that? He didn't say sell it all. He said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Give to those that are in need. Help those people that are in need. You have all of this money laid aside. Why don't you use that to help somebody? That's what Jesus was saying. And then he said, and if you do this, then you come and follow me, and your life will be complete. Following Jesus. Let me close by and I'm not even through this morning. Let me close by giving you one other illustration. Remember in the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was the one that called fire down from heaven. He was the one that prayed and the heavens shut up for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and the rain came. Elijah was a great prophet of the Old Testament. Elijah had a friend who was one of his disciples by the name of Elisha. And it became general knowledge that Elijah was going to be taken up. They knew that on a certain day Elijah was going to be taken up. They didn't really understand how that was going to happen, but we know the rest of the story because we read the book, right? And we learned that they were walking along and all of a sudden a chariot of fire comes out of heaven, swoops down and picks up old Elijah, and off he goes into heaven in a chariot of fire. Well, everybody knew that. Go back and read the text. You'll find this out. Everybody knew this. They passed by a company of young prophets, and they came out and said, hey, Elisha, don't you know that your master's going to be taken today? Don't you know that somehow he's going to be taken? God's going to come and take him? Don't you know that's going to happen? Elisha says, yes, I know that. Just be quiet. That's what you need to tell the devil sometimes when he comes around talking in your ear. Just shut up. Right. Elisha said, don't you talk to me about that. I know this is going to happen. Even Elijah said, Elisha, why don't you stay here and let me go a little further. I've got to go a little bit further down the road here. Why don't you just stay here? And old Elisha said, no way, man. I'm going wherever you go. If you go to the mountaintop, you're going to find me on the mountaintop with you. If you go down through the valley, I'm going to be right there with you when you go down through the valley. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I have a desire in my life to be with you. I have a desire to follow you. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. That's the kind of determination that we need to have for Jesus this morning. I don't care what's coming. I don't care what others say. I'm determined. I'm going to keep walking with him and following him all the way until I can hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, let me finish the story. Would you stand, please? Let me finish the story. They continued their walking, and all of a sudden, Elijah says, well, what would you like to have? When I leave, what would you like to have? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit to be upon me. And you know the story. If you're a Bible reader, you know the story. And if you haven't read this, you need to go back and read it. Wonderful, wonderful story in the Old Testament, Book of Kings. They were walking along, and all of a sudden, this chariot of fire comes down and just sweeps old Elijah right up, carries him to heaven. But as he's going up, there's something that falls off, comes back down to the ground. It was the mantle that Elijah was wearing. He had asked for a double portion. Remember, he took this mantle and he walked down to the brook and he took the mantle and he smote the water. And he said, in the name of the Lord God of Elijah. And he smote the water and he walked across. Why? Because there was a double portion of the Spirit of God that came on him because he persevered. He would not turn back. He held on to his master. He kept walking with him and following him all the way. He would not desert his master. He finished his race. I've got to quit. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege this morning of preaching your word. Thank you for the truth of the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I must also take this opportunity while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. If you're in this building this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, maybe you're one of those people that I've been talking about this morning. Maybe you're one of those that you come and you're here faithfully, but you've never really made that life-changing commitment of your life to Jesus. If you're in this building this morning and you need Jesus as your Savior, would you just slip your hand up right where you are? Amen. 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 Anyone? I saw one little hand go up over here. Amen. Lord Jesus, touch this young man. Come to him and open his understanding. Let him know who you are. Let him know you in the forgiveness of his sin. That his life can, even as a young person, Lord, that his life will be meaningful and great in the kingdom of God because he's followed you and lived for you all these days. In Jesus' name. Now I want to close with this prayer. How many of you in this building, you're willing to make a commitment to the Lord this morning? I'm not going to quit. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to be a survivalist. I'm going to survive this thing. I don't care what comes my way. I'm going to survive. I am going to survive. If that's your determination, would you just lift your hand up to heaven right now? Father, all over this congregation, there are people who are making a commitment. Lord, I'm going to survive. Troubles may come. Trials may come. Difficulties may come. Adversities may come. People may come against me, friends may turn against me, family may turn against me, but Lord, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to press my way through. I'm going to be a survivor. And when you call me home, Lord, I know that you'll have a better place prepared for me in Jesus' name. Lord, bless your people today. Bless us as we leave the sanctuary this morning. Give us grace as we leave. Give us strength for this week. Give us sustenance for this week that will carry us through. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen, and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.